Well, good morning, church. I might just pray before I start. Father, I pray, Lord, that you would open our ears to hear what you want to say, Lord, that you would speak to us this morning. I pray, Lord, that your word will never fail and that you will always speak, Lord, if we're willing to listen. So give us willing ears, Lord, to hear what you want to say, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Before I was a Christian, I became a Christian at about 27. Before I was a Christian, the guy that eventually led me to the Lord thought I was close, right? So he invited a pastor that he knew over to my house. And he came to my house and sat down with Tracy and I, and we had a little baby at the time, and basically tried to lead me to the Lord. And I wasn't impressed, actually. He wasn't impressive to me at all. That's my memory of it. And I actually said to him, what can you offer me? I mean, look around. I've got a beautiful wife and family, and I've got a brand new car in the garage. I worked very hard. I had a really nice big house that I almost owned, and I was like 25. And I said, what have you got to offer me? Like, talk about arrogant. Anyway. He looked me square in the eyes and said, you'll find out. And you know, I've spent the last 25 years doing that very thing, trying to find out what's the point of life, you know. Like we look at, you know, as a non-believer, all I looked at was the physical world, right? We often look at the physical things that we see and really they're so pointless, you know. Anyway, turn with me to the book of Ecclesiastes. One of my favorite books. Ecclesiastes chapter 1. The words of the teacher, son of David, king of Jerusalem. Meaningless, meaningless, says the teacher. Utterly meaningless. Everything is meaningless. What does man gain from all his labor at which he toils under the sun? Generations come and generations go, but the earth remains forever. The sun rises and the sun sets, and hurries back to where it rises. The wind blows to the south, and then it turns to the north. Round and round it goes, ever returning on its course. All streams flow into the sea, yet the sea is never full. To the place the streams come from, there they return again. All things are wearisome. More than one can say. The eye never has enough of seeing, nor the ear its fill of hearing. What has been will be again. What has been done will be done again. There is nothing new under the sun. This was written by King Solomon. Now, King Solomon was born in privilege, right? His father was King David, as we know. His father gained a lot of wealth and a lot of influence over his time. When he gave the kingdom over to Solomon, just one thing, he had 300 tons of gold sitting there ready for the temple. And that's just the gold, never mind the bronze and the silver. Solomon made silver as common as stones on the ground in Jerusalem. Now, this guy was a guy of wisdom and influence. He had influence, he had privilege. He was the 10th son of David. And yet he became king. The reason he became king is because God chose him that way, right? God chose him to be the king. So here we have a guy who is exceedingly wealthy, exceedingly privileged, and is the most powerful person in that area, right? And he seeks after wisdom. And God says to him, I'm going to give you wisdom. I'm going to give you so much wisdom there won't be anyone wiser to have ever walked the earth. He wrote this book, Ecclesiastes. So I think it's important that we heed his warnings and heed his teachings, yeah? Being the wisest person that ever lived. And it's a bit ironic because at the end, we'll just talk a bit about Solomon again, but it's important that we listen to what he has to say in Ecclesiastes. So if we turn over to chapter 2, this is Solomon saying something. I thought in my heart, chapter 2, verse 1, I thought in my heart, come now, I will test you with pleasure to find out what is good. But that also proved to be meaningless. Laughter, I said, is foolish. And what does pleasure accomplish? I tried cheering myself up with wine and embracing folly. My mind still guided me with wisdom. I wanted to see what was worthwhile for men to do under heaven during the few days of their lives. I undertook great projects. I built houses for myself and planted vineyards. I made gardens and parks and planted all kinds of fruit trees in them. I made reservoirs to water groves of flourishing trees. I bought male and female slaves. I had other slaves who were born in my house. I also owned more herds and flocks than anyone in Jerusalem. I amassed silver and gold for myself, the treasures of kings and provinces. I acquired men and women singers and a harem as well, the delights of the heart of man. I became greater by far than anyone in Jerusalem before me. In all this, my wisdom stayed with me. I denied myself nothing my eyes desired. I refused my heart no pleasure. My heart took delight in all my work, and this was the reward of my labor. Yet when I surveyed that all that my hands had done and what I had toiled to achieve, everything was meaningless, a chasing after the wind. Nothing was gained under the sun. Here's a guy who's got all this stuff, right? Are we not in the West running around accumulating stuff? That's what we do in the West, right? More than any other place in the world, we are the ones who want to get satisfaction from stuff. And it just doesn't do anything for us, right? It just doesn't do anything for us. You can try and have pleasure. You can try and gain something from pleasure. But what he's trying to tell us here is that we need to look beyond the physical things. We can look at the physical things and they're not going to do anything for us. So many times I've seen in my life, I've seen people who are going after things. I've known people who have spent their whole lives doing a new thing, trying new things, playing with, buying new cars, buying things, and they never seem to find satisfaction. One of my good friends has just bought himself a nice big boat, and he's spending all this time, and we've got these people who've come in halfway through the service. No one's listening to me. Welcome back. No one's listening to me. They're all looking at the Duffy's walk in. And Nikki, where's the rest of your family, Nikki? There you go. Well, welcome back. I bet you're all exhausted, but excited to get out of the eye of the hurricane. For those of you who didn't know, they were in Miami and there was a hurricane very close to them, and that's why they're late. So pleasures are meaningless. I worked with this guy over the years recently, and he used to spend his whole life saving and preparing himself so that he could go back up to the northern part of Australia and basically go four-wheel driving and fishing, and that's what he spent his life preparing for. He was working so that he could get enough long service leave so that he could have a period of time, 6 months or 3 months, whatever, to basically pack up from reality and go and enjoy himself. How many of you know that that when you go on holidays, you come back and very quickly it's over. Very quickly the reality sets back in again. Because pleasures are meaningless. At the end of the day, pleasures don't give us what we're after. Solomon was trying to tell us that we need to look beyond that. We need to look beyond pleasures. And he goes through in here. Let's just look at what he said. That's about pleasures. What does he say about toil? He recognized that toil was an issue. So verse 17 of chapter 2, he said, "So I hated life because the work that is done under the sun was grievous to me. All is meaningless, a chasing after the wind. I hated all the things that I had toiled for under the sun, because I must leave them to the one who comes after me. And who knows whether he will be a wise man or a fool? Yet he will have control over all the work into which I have poured my effort and skill under the sun. This too is meaningless. My heart began to despair over all my toilsome labor under the sun. For a man may do his work with wisdom, knowledge, and skill, and then must leave all he owns to someone who has not worked for it. This too is meaningless and a great misfortune. What does a man get from all his toil and anxious striving which he labors under the sun? All his days, his work is pain and grief, even at night. His mind does not rest. This too is meaningless. A man can do nothing better than to eat and drink and find satisfaction in his work. This too I see is from the hand of God. For without him, who can eat or find enjoyment? To the man who pleases him, God gives wisdom, knowledge, and happiness. But to the sinner, he gives the task of gathering and storing up wealth to hand it over to the one who pleases God." God will give you wisdom and knowledge and happiness if you seek him, if you're looking his way, right? Chasing after things just isn't the answer. That's what he's trying to tell us. Chasing after things just is not the answer. You can try and do whatever you can, but it doesn't work. It's not going to give it to you. There's a verse in Proverbs 23, verse 4. It says, "Don't wear yourselves out to get rich. Have the wisdom to show restraint." Have the wisdom to show restraint. In chapter 4, verse 4, it says, "And I saw that all labor and all achievement spring from man's envy of his neighbor." How often do we see that in life? You know, it's like a competition. You know, we have to look at life and look at all of the people who gain these things, and the competition of having a nicer car than your neighbor, or envying what your neighbor has rather than what God has given you. You know, when you travel overseas to different countries, to third world countries and second world countries, you see that their view of life is quite different. They don't live like that so much. They have other issues to deal with. But this issue is an issue in the West, where we toil and we work and we strive. And it's all to beat the neighbor? Another guy I met, read this verse down here. Another thing in verse 8 it says, "There was a man all alone. He had neither son nor brother. There was no end to his toil. Yet his eyes were not content with his wealth. For whom am I toiling, he asked, and why am I depriving myself of enjoyment? This too is meaningless, a miserable business." How many people have you known who, I've heard of this guy, the friend of a friend, down in Sydney. He had no family, and yet he worked. He owned 8 houses in Sydney. Back when I was talking to him. And yet his life consisted of that very thing, toiling, working, gaining wealth. Is that not foolishness? He owned 8 houses. I mean, okay, let's say they're worth $1 million each. It's $8 million. Okay, maybe I'm a bit optimistic. It's $6 million. He's still got loads of money, right? How many people have you known that have done that? There are so many people in society today that choose not to have children because they want to have a nice life. But they fail to see that the nice life often comes through children, comes while you're having children. You know, you get so much blessing from children. Children are a blessing from the Lord, it says, doesn't it? Those who are wise enough to read this see that, right? The deception of wealth. That's the thing. It's deceiving wealth. Let me just read a verse in chapter 5, verse 10 onwards. It says, whoever loves money never has money enough. Whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with his income. This too is meaningless. As goods increase, so do those who consume them. And what benefit are they to the owner except to feast his eyes on them? The sleep of a labourer is sweet, whether he eats little or much, but the abundance of a rich man permits him no sleep. When I chose to leave my job earlier this year, I went around at work and I asked people this question. How much is enough? I asked loads of people that question. How much is enough? Like, how much is enough to retire? You know, I knew of guys at work that had superannuation to burn. They'd worked there for 40 years or that. It was this huge super fund. And I said to the people, how much is enough? And you know what answer I overwhelmingly got? Just a little bit more. Just a little bit more. Wherever you are, however rich you are, however much you've got, that's what overwhelmingly was the answer. Just a little bit more. And yet the foolishness of the deception of wealth is no matter how much you've got, you always want more when that becomes your God, when that becomes everything, yeah? But see, Solomon was trying to show us something here, that there's so much more than just the things around us. If you look at chapter 4, go back a page to chapter 4. Hang on a minute. No, I'm missing it there, sorry. Sorry, go to chapter 7. He was trying to, and verse 23, it says, Solomon was saying, okay, after all of this that I see, all of this stuff that we gain, where does it go? Where does it get us? It gets us nowhere. So he looks back to wisdom and he says, I am determined to be wise, but this was beyond me. Whatever wisdom may be, it is far off and most profound. Who can discover it? So I turned to my mind to understand, to investigate, and to search out wisdom, and to show and the scheme of things, and to understand the stupidity of wickedness and the madness of folly. Solomon's trying to show us that wickedness is, wisdom is the answer. We've got to look to the Lord with everything we do, everything we walk towards. That's what he's trying to get through. He's showing us through the scriptures, through this book, that we need to trust in him. We need to look to him no matter what we do. Verse 7 of chapter 8 says, since no man knows the future, who can tell him what is to come? No man has power over the wind to contain it. So no one has power over the day of his death, and no one is discharged in time of war. So wickedness will not release those who practice it. Everyone's got to realize that sometime we're going to die. The common destiny for all of us is that we're going to die. So we need to do something meaningful in our lives. That's the question that I want to ask you today. What are you doing with your life? We can look at our lives. We can look at all the things that we do, and are they meaningful? What are we doing in our life that actually has a different, that's going to make a difference? You see, right at the end, at the conclusion of this book, he says, chapter 12, he says, the dust returns to the ground it came from, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. Meaningless, meaningless, he says. Everything is meaningless. Right down at the bottom, he says, now all has been heard. Here is the conclusion to the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Fear God and keep his commandments. I want to challenge you this today that we can go through our lives thinking that we're serving God, doing what we think God wants us to do, but sometimes God wants to challenge us to step out of our comfort zones. You see, you never discover what God wants to do in your life unless you actually step out of that, step out of what you're doing. If you do the same things all the time and expect something different, that's like madness, because nothing's going to change if you do the same thing all the time. I want to challenge you to step out of the normal, to step out of what you're normally doing, because what you're normally doing, unless of course you've already heard from the Lord what he has clearly told you to do, right? When I started to travel overseas with Pastor Martin, the first time I went because I thought maybe God wants me to do this. I had an inkling, but I didn't really know, but I stepped out. I said, I'm going to do this. I'm going to see if God wants me to do this, right? And while I was in that, while I was stepping out, God spoke to me very clearly several times. And so I discovered what God wanted. And the reason that happened is because I stepped out, because I took the chance, if you like. You see, if you've got an evangelistic gift on your life, right, if you don't actually go and say something to somebody, you never discover it. You'll never discover what God wants to do for your life in that field. Or, for instance, if you have a prophetic gift, you never understand, you never discover that you've got prophetic gifting unless you step out. So I want to challenge you that we need to step out of the boat, have a go at something to see what God wants to do in you. Otherwise, you'll never discover it. And that's so important in life. You know, there's a scripture in Psalm 84. It says, better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. It's even if God wants you to be a doorkeeper, you'll be much more satisfied. But we need to step out of the boat and need to check, to step out of what we normally are doing. If we don't know what the Lord wants us to do, you're never going to find that out. You're never going to discover what he wants you to do unless you actually step out of it, unless you jump in and go, I'm going to have a go. I'm going to do something different and God will meet you there. And if he doesn't meet you there, then you know that that one's crossed off, yeah? That's how you discover what God wants you to do. See, God makes it difficult sometimes so that we have to find him, so that we have to search for him. When we search for him, then we'll find him. The Bible says that. The Bible guarantees that. God says, if you search for me, you'll find me. That's what I'm talking about, searching for him. If you're prepared to step out, that's what will happen. Can I have the band come up? I want to challenge you today to look at your life, look at some of the things that we do in our lives. We can get so caught up in doing things. We can get so caught up in running a business or going after a sport or having pleasure or gaining wealth. But we need to understand that it's pointless unless we do it God's way, unless we discover what God wants to do in your life. If you discover what he wants you to do in your life, all of those things will fall away, I guarantee it. All of those things will become meaningless to you. I've experienced that in my life. I've experienced that. I've looked into things. I've had a lot of opportunity. I've considered myself being very blessed in my life. I had a great upbringing and I had a lot of opportunity given to me. But none of it means anything when you see that God is the one that wants to use you, that God wants to if you step into what God wants, it's like a breath of life. It's like a breath of life. So I just want to encourage you, if you need prayer for anything this morning, come forward as we play this music and